We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for allowing us to meditate upon what is perhaps the most precious part of the Word which you've given us. And we pray that you open our hearts, reveal the truths which you have here in Scripture for us, strengthen our faith in our Savior, and increase our love for Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speakerphone and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. Our service this morning is coming from our home here in the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where we are enjoying a rather belated January thaw. Temperature is in the mid-30s, and snow is melting, not all of it, but some of it. And it's a nice little break in the middle of winter. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with the Sure Water of Life to Song of Solomon chapter 2. We're going to be looking this morning at verse 11. In the King James translation, it reads as follows. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. Kind of set the stage here and looking at the location of Song of Solomon or Song of Songs as it comes right after the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, which from the human side of things also comes to us from the pen of Solomon, begins with these words. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Of special interest this morning for us are the opening words of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given unto the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. He also has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes could be summed up in these words, under the sun. Under the S-U-N. Or to put it another way, life on this earth without the S-O-N. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But now here in Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, the Son of God has entered into the mix. And what a difference he makes. And this difference is evidenced throughout all the book of the Song of Solomon. Let's take a little look in general at the opening words in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which we've just read. And as I was reading it and studying it, John chapter 21, verse 18 came to mind, 18 and following. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith to him, follow me. The words were the words of Christ spoken to Peter. And the word of God is a living word. It speaks to you and to me also, as it did to Peter when it was first spoken. What Christ was saying to Peter was, you know, when you were young, if you wanted to go outside, you threw a coat on your shoulders and out you went. You did what you wanted to do. You went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, that's going to change. Someone else is going to gird you and take you where you don't want to go. The words come to life for every child of God at different times during our sojourn here on this earth. They applied to Jonah when God told him, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come before me. Jonah didn't want to go there. So we read, but Jonah arose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord, go to Nineveh. Jonah, I don't want to go there. I'd rather go to Tarshish. Well, this is your story and mine. All of us realize there are different times in our life when we don't want to go where the Lord leads us and wants us to go. I can point to many times in my own life when this has been the case, and I'm sure you can in yours also. Looking at the little overview of the first 11 verses of Ecclesiastes 3, there are 28 different times which the Holy Spirit mentions, which map out a pattern of our own life here on this earth. The number 28 can be broken down to 7 times 4, 7 being the number of perfection, 4 the number of the world. The thought here is that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord is the one that has mapped out the race and set it before us, and everything is beautiful in His time. But we don't see that beauty. There are times we simply don't want to go where the Lord wants us to go. Of the 28 times mentioned in Ecclesiastes 3 in the opening verses, we probably could knock out 14 of them without giving it a second thought, or at least come close to it. It's not always clear-cut, but a few examples would be Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. We don't want to die. By nature, we don't want to die. We want to be born, but we don't want to die. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. I don't want to weep. I want to laugh. I want to be happy all the time. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. I don't want to mourn. I don't want to play funeral. I'd rather play wedding. Have a happy time, a time to dance. A time to get and a time to lose. I don't want to lose. I want to get things. A time to keep and a time to cast away. I don't want to cast things away. I want to keep them. A time to love and a time to hate. I don't want to hate. I don't want to go there. A time of war and a time of peace. I don't want to fight. I don't want to go there either. So there are many times in our lives where we have to go where we don't want to go. But the Holy Spirit sums it up this way. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. So once Christ is thrown into the mix, everything changes drastically for the bride. And even though we sometimes can't understand why he wants us to go a certain place, we can still go and look for a blessing, knowing that there is a blessing there. And the time now that the bridegroom is talking to about the bride is this. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. A little word study here before we delve into it. For lo. The word lo is a very important word in Holy Writ, often translated behold, found in both the Old Testament and the New. The Hebrew word for lo here has 1,060 hits in the Old Testament. 9 times it's used in the Song of Solomon. And the word lo always introduces something of tremendous importance. A few examples, Matthew 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, or lo, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph's life had seemingly just blown up in his face. His lover was found to be pregnant. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, behold, behold, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She's pregnant by the Holy Ghost. The father of that child is God himself. He is the promised seed who's going to crush the head of the serpent. Matthew 1:23. Behold, or lo, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This had never happened before nor since, that a virgin conceives and brings forth a child. This was a special child. Matthew 2, verse 1, and when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, or lo, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Matthew 2, verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. This word lo, or behold, always introduces a haymaker. And the haymaker here is this. For lo, the winter is past. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read that there's a time for everything under the heaven. And we know that the four seasons of the year, at least in our section of God's country are repeated over and over and over again. You've got springtime. It's going to be followed by summer. That's going to be followed by fall. And fall is going to be followed by winter. But winter is going to be followed by spring again, and then summer, fall, and then another winter. And it's one winter after the other as the cycle goes around. Not so here in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 11. This is the winter. For lo, the winter is past. The word winter here is a one-time usage in Holy Writ. You will not find this Hebrew word used anywhere else in the Bible. It's a special word. There are a lot of different winter times in our life, but this is talking about the winter. We could say it's a summary of every difficulty you've ever had in your whole life. Winter has a good meaning in Scripture. It has a bad meaning also. Good meaning, Genesis 8, verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter. Winter here is a different word, by the way, than what we have in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11. Summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, Psalm 74, verse 17, thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Winter, again, a different word than what we have in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 11. Sometimes there's a bad meaning. Mark 13, 18, pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. I've got a special event in my life that relates to this verse, I can tell you that. First year that I was in Duluth, I moved. And I made the move in the middle of January. And if you're living in Duluth, trust me, you don't want to move during the month of January. That's not what you want to do. It's not the time to move. John 10, verse 22. It was at Jerusalem at the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. Feast of the Dedication to God, but it was winter. Hearts had grown cold. Back to Song of Solomon 2:11 again. For lo, the winter, the real thing, is past. It's over. It's done with. More on this later. The rain is over and gone. The heavy and cold winter rain here is referred to in the Holy Land. For us, we would say the heavy snow of winter. That's the meaning of it. For lo, the winter is past. The heavy snows are over and gone. Over and gone. A double hit. You know what that means in Scripture. Pharaoh had two dreams, didn't understand what they meant, called for Joseph. Joseph gave in the meaning. The two dreams are really one. God has given you a double hit to indicate that what he said is going to happen very, very soon. So when God gives a double hit, that's always very important. Now remember here that the word winter is a one-time usage. And so the bridegroom is now saying to his bride, his loved one, his beloved, come, for lo, the winter is past. The heavy rains, the snow is over and gone. There's a book that has been written up in Duluth. I don't remember the exact title of it. I think it was called The Four Seasons. But it was written by one man and illustrated in pictures by another. And the opening of the spring season was this. The opening words unless you have lived through a hard winter in northern Minnesota, you can't really appreciate and enjoy the spring. And I have a feeling that there's some truth to this. It goes deeper than that, but there's some truth to this about all these times that we have in our life, too, that are mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In our regular year of the four seasons, long and hard and cold winters finally pass away. They don't last forever, but they come back again. And they're always followed by spring, and the spring would not be so pleasant as it is if it weren't followed or preceded by this hard winter. When you've been freezing outside as warm as you can dress, what a pleasant thing it is in the springtime to be in your shirt sleeves and feel that soft breeze wafting in from the south. Ecclesiastes 7:14 gives us this instruction: in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider this. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. There are reasons why these stormy periods, these winter times, come into our lives. There's a reason for that, if need be, the Lord says. So there are blessings in all of these things. And if, as I look back on my life, and I'm sure you can say the thing of yours, same thing, and most likely it's always true, that the good times by far outnumber the bad times. Yes, we have periods of winter. We've also got a lot of periods of spring and summer that seem to last a lot longer than the periods of winter do. In this life, winter will always come back again. But here in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11, we are standing at the last day, and the word winter is a one-time occurrence. This is it. It is not going to come back. This is the end of it. Winter being a picture of all of the hard times that we've had in our life, physically or spiritually, when the devil attacks us, the sorrow, the tears, all of these things, the pain. Lo, the winter is past. It's gone, and it's not going to come back again. The heavy snows are over and gone. They're finished. They've accomplished their purpose, and they're not going to come back again. This is blessed beyond words. There are some truths that come out here clearly. There is such a thing as a sharp winter time in our life, probably many of them. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And suffering is part of our calling here on this earth as children of God. That's part of it. Psalm 147 talks about terrible blasts and tempests, and who can stand before his cold? The context, beginning of verse 16, he give us snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsel. Who can stand before his cold? There were a few of these verses in Scripture that talk about the ice that the English explorer Shackleton tore out of a Bible and kept next to his heart when he was down there trying to cross the Antarctic. And the cold was bitter, but he knew he was being held in the hand of God. Well, all these barriers have been taken away by the S-U-N, and really pointing to the S-O-N. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He melts the ice and the snow. He causes the wind to blow, the soft wind coming in from the south, and the waters to flow. So all of these heavy, heavy barriers, which are summed up by the word winter in Scripture, They've all been taken away by Jesus Christ. And they were taken away when he suffered and died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again for our justification. So God's judgments are satisfied. The winter is past. It's all over. And as we move through this beautiful, in my opinion, the most precious verses of all Holy Writ, we're going to find that the death of Jesus Christ and the kingdom which he is going to usher in at the last day is very far-reaching. The whole creation is going to take part in this. The whole creation. We're not guessing here. Romans 8. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Remember the start of Ecclesiastes? Vanity, vanity, saith the preacher, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Well, the creation's going to be released from that also. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. But not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, these things are truths that you and I would not know. We could not know unless the Lord God revealed them to us. And so this final coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the destruction of his enemy and ours and the new heaven and the new earth, this is what's being looked forward to as the bridegroom speaks to the bride in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 11. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. And then we're going to see it all unfold, the truth that Scripture gives us. For this purpose, the Son of God was made man, that he might destroy the works of the devil.